You're listening to the Talking Rheumatology Podcast, brought to you by the British Society for Rheumatology.
Hello and welcome to Talking Rheumatology. I'm Caroline Groves, Journal Development Officer at BSR, and I'm delighted to be hosting this short series where I interview the winners of the BSR Best Practice Awards 2022. In today's episode, I'm joined by Thurka, Sarah, Kate and Borsha from Chapel Allerton Hospital in Leeds. Their winning project is entitled A Multidisciplinary Team-Led Approach to Improving Care for Patients with Suspected Giant Cell Arthritis. So firstly, congratulations everyone on winning the award. Would you each like to go around and introduce yourselves?
Hello, I'm Thurka Rajaswaran. I'm an academic clinical fellow working with the rheumatology team at Leeds.
And I'm Sarah Mackey, I'm a rheumatologist at Leeds.
Hi, I'm Kate Smith and I'm a research sonographer at Leeds.
And hello, I'm Borsha Sarkar and I'm also a research sonographer at Leeds.
So, would you like to start by summarising the project?
So we wanted to look at improving giant cell arthritis pathway for our patients. We had several key improvements that we wanted to focus on. First of all, we wanted to be able to reduce the time it took from initial presentation to confirmed diagnosis, which initially was up to 4 weeks. And during all that time, the patients were quite often actually taking high-dose steroids, which had its own burden on the patients due to the toxicity of that medication. We also wanted to introduce ultrasound as a diagnostic test. And as part of that pathway, we also looked to creating a multidisciplinary team so we could learn as a team together as we introduced the pathway.
So unlike some of the other quality improvement initiatives we've seen, this project started pre-pandemic. So how did it come about?
So we knew we needed to change our pathway to become in line with the BSR guidelines. And we talked to our patients and they were also wanted to reduce the time that they were on the steroids, particularly if they were then subsequently not diagnosed with GCA, so they were taking medication that they didn't need to be on. Ultrasound at that time was very ad hoc. It was provided by one rheumatologist and it was very difficult to arrange. And we needed to make a more sustainable pathway, including ultrasound. And we thought we could introduce a pathway to begin with that worked for other hospitals, but then realised due to our split site initially that that wouldn't work for us. So we needed to look at creating our own pathway.
Great. So a key feature of the project, as you mentioned, Kate, was the formation of an NDT. Can you tell us more about forming this team?
So when we started out to improve our processes, we had a pathway mapping exercise. And during that, what we actually did was met everybody that was in the team for the first time face-to-face. So some of these people were people that you had only seen their names, you'd never met them in person. And so when we actually went through the process of mapping our pathway, the other opportunity that gave us was to actually meet these people as individuals. And we wanted to try and keep that team ethos of knowing people and having somebody that you have a commitment to. So we started off with a face-to-face multidisciplinary team meeting as part of our pathway. But that couldn't be attended by everybody. So for instance, it was on a day that I didn't work, so I never really got to go to the face-to-face meeting, and other people struggle with clinical commitments, so not everybody went. But there was a great opportunity during the pandemic to keep that going, because we needed to obviously continue with the meeting. So we took it online onto Microsoft Teams, and that also meant that we had staff who were shielding at home and they could also keep involved with the patients and the pathway. But it also meant that we could include key members of the team and discuss the learning and share the knowledge. So for instance, our pathologists, the ultrasound imaging and the clinical presentation of the patient and also a summary of the results was discussed and captured. And one of the members of the team would capture the decision from the multidisciplinary team meeting and record that onto the electronic notes. So the decision and discussion was all captured. Because we did that online, it meant that everybody could look at the imaging and not only understand what barn door abnormal looks like, but we could also discuss those patients who had normal imaging and the answer wasn't straightforward. From doing that, we began to realise that there were nuances to both the pathology and the imaging, and nuances to the clinical diagnosis. So it improved that for all our registrars who presented the patients, but they also got the advanced learning from all of the different specialties, and they got the support of the consultants' discussion just to decide how to ultimately manage that patient. From that, it became a really good learning tool, and it also kept the cohesiveness of the team. So that's probably one of the most important things for anybody who's in thinking of introducing a pathway, I believe.
Well, absolutely. I think that MDT support and opportunity for education and innovation, like, is so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, Sarah, your project has four distinct phases. So we've got MDT formation, pathway mapping, development and streamlining. Could you talk us through those phases?
So initially, we form the core improvement team, so the people that are really going to drive this forward. So that's clinicians, sonographers, pathologists, and one registrar at a time was part of that team. Then our pathway mapping exercise was, as Borsha said, we got absolutely everybody who was at all involved in the pathway, and we discovered lots of people that met that we'd never met face to face before, like the lady who books the biopsies in the over on the other site, and we learned so much from talking to those people and meeting them, and we actually really appreciated they traveled across site to meet with us, and we had so many ideas from that pathway mapping exercise. So then we tried out some of those ideas in our development phase. That development phase, we were trying things, but we had to make that safe. So we were introduced ultrasound, but we kept doing biopsy. And we tried a new referral form, but we said, well, we're just trying this out. We might have to amend it. And we did have to amend it. So we almost expected things to go wrong in that development phase and kept the lines of communication open and then caught things quickly and put things right and kind of stabilized things out a bit. And then as things got better and we grew, our confidence in the test grew, then we started to hit a different kind of problem, which was that we just had so many referrals because the pathway was working. People were referring into it, but how did we cope with this volume of work? And so then our streamlining phase was really about kind of making that pathway more efficient, making sure that there wasn't over-investigation and over-treatment, making sure that the right patients are coming through that pathway. And so this streamlining phase is the important part of it. You know, just when you've got ultrasound working, it doesn't necessarily mean that your pathway is where you want it, and that streamlining phase is still, you know, we're still trying to streamline that further and get that pathway working as well as possible.
How did you find that the pandemic impacted your project?
So the pandemic did come as an unexpected unexpected event, and a lot of things happened all at once that were kind of outside the bounds of what you can plan for. So we had previously been saying, well, let's try small things, see what happens, try small things, see what happens. But then the pandemic was a totally different kind of situation because there were a whole lot of unforeseen things happened all at once, which we had no control over and which were non-negotiable. So there were no routine follow-ups. All the registrars were redeployed to the acute setting, and many of the consultants also to the COVID wards or to the acute wards. And we had staff shielding, and we had the difficulty of ruling out COVID in patients presenting with suspected giant cell arteritis. And we, at this time, PCR tests for COVID had a long turnaround, and it was difficult to get those PCR tests unless patients were going to be admitted. So we had a few patients presenting that were referred with suspected giant cell arteritis because they had a headache and high inflammatory markers, and it turned out they, in fact, had COVID. So we were concerned about infection prevention and control in the setting of that ultrasound scan as well to protect patients and reduce the risk of infection transmission in that ultrasound setting. So we had to really rapidly pivot and just keep the pathway going however we can. And so we drafted in other staff to cover some of the ultrasounds, and we had to do things very differently for a little while. And then things started to settle down, and we could go back to our making small steps and making small improvements. But at that time, all we had to do was just keep things going and just keep options open as much as possible, just keep the ability to see the patients and look after patients through that period. And we introduced things like a COVID symptom checklist very early before it was needed to be introduced for routine clinic appointments because they weren't going on yet, but we had to have a COVID symptom checklist right from the start, for example. So that was one of the ways which we had to put things in quickly into our pathway to make sure that it was still working in this really strange circumstances.
I mean, it sounds like just such a case of having to really quickly innovate and just get things moving so quickly for these patients, because it is very time sensitive.
We got the GCA registrar as well, though, didn't we? And it was an opportunity to bring things onto like a single site.
So the story with the GCA registrar is that previously the patients had been coming up to the acute site
And then just before the pandemic hit, it had been extremely busy for that registrar with coping with the inpatients and the GCA referrals all at once, and it was actually becoming unmanageable. And so the decision was made by a lead clinician that one of our registrars on Chapel Allerton, which is our non-acute site, would be nominated to see the patients at Chapel Allerton rather than them going via the big hospital on the acute side. And this proved fortunate because when the pandemic struck a few weeks later, we didn't want patients coming through A&E with suspected giant cell arteritis. But then also it was useful because it meant that everything was on one site, and it meant that we could set up what we called a one-stop shop, where a patient would come and they would have one visit, and as much as possible was done at that one visit. And since that time, it's often been two stops. So they've had an assessment visit and then a pause and a think about and look at the blood results, and then the ultrasound maybe one day later or 2 days later. And that works better now. But at the time, when we wanted to reduce footfall onto the hospital site because it was the, you know, lockdown, and we were really trying to reduce infection transmission and reduce unnecessary hospital visits, there was a real emphasis at that time on just getting patients through that pathway with as few hospital visits as possible. And so having that GCA registrar in place was incredibly useful, and we wouldn't have been able to do this without having that there.
So if we move on to the key results of your initiative then, so what did you find?
So we had five different pre-specified domains that we were evaluating to see the impact of these changes that were made. The first of which was delivery. So we mainly looked at that through lead time, that being defined as the time a patient came into our pathway to the time that they got a confirmation test result. At the start of this pathway, they were waiting about a month. Our last result, we were seeing just over a week wait. The second domain we looked at was quality, and this was broken into two separate cohorts. First being those patients who had a final diagnosis of GCA, and what proportion of them had a confirmation test, whether that's a biopsy or an ultrasound. With this, we saw a rise from about 30% at the start of the pathway to 75% in our last evaluation. The second cohort we looked at for quality were those who didn't have a diagnosis of GCA at the end. And this time we looked at the total amount of prednisolone dose they received whilst they were waiting in this pathway. At the start, they were getting on average a mean of 1.34 grams. In our last evaluation, this had dropped down to 0.14. We also looked at the cost, and we found that the average per patient cost declined from just over 1,000 to about £400. But as Sarah mentioned earlier, I think we've been a victim of our own success in that we have reduced the cost per patient, but we've seen a significant increase in the number of patients in the actual referral, somewhere around 6 per month to now about 24 per month in our evaluation. We also looked at service by getting feedback from our patients, morale of the staff by getting feedback from them. And generally that was positive, but it did highlight some areas for improvement, mainly because of the complexity of the pathway and the volume of patients we were seeing. But I think that's really given us directions for future changes as well.
So taking into account your results and everything you've learned along the way, what advice would you give to other teams looking to implement a similar improvement to their GCA pathway?
So I think what we'd say from our experience is that everybody needs to start from where you are, first of all, and look at what you have and look at what's working well and value what you have. And then don't expect to be able to take what's working somewhere else and just put it into your setting. It's making those small steps and making those incremental improvements and evaluating as you go along, and just making sure that you really do speak to absolutely everybody involved and make sure that all those stakeholders are aware of what you're doing. You listen to your critics and you preemptively listen to their concerns, because often they have a point, and you can get early indications of things that you need to be watching out for from those people who see things a bit differently. And then the last thing to say is that it can feel like it's a huge thing to change a pathway, and it is a huge thing to change a pathway, because when you have an established pathway, there are so many interactions with the rest of the system, if you like, because it's become so embedded into routine care. And then when you're changing it, it feels like there are so many knock-on effects that you need to take account of. But if you just do it little bit by bit, then ultimately you do get something that works in the new setting. But it may not look exactly as you envisioned at the start, and that's okay. It's better to to take small steps to change, I would say, rather than try and create the perfect pathway from scratch. And each of those small steps, you learn and you improve, and actually you discover new things you hadn't anticipated when you started. So just to be open to that learning and really value your team.
Yeah, it's like building those relationships, isn't it, that has meant so much for us as a team, I think, because we've all felt obliged to help each other. It's much easier when you've all seen each other, and it's really easy to perhaps not be as helpful as you could be if it's just somebody on the other end of an email.
And as you mentioned, that multidisciplinary team meeting that we have every month where we discuss the cases has really, really helped us understand the perspective of everybody else who's in that team. And so then we can all work together constructively for the care of the patient.
So just to summarise, take small steps. Don't expect things to be perfect straight away. Listen to constructive criticism and involve all of your team members. And I think that's all very, very sage and very universal advice there. So just to finish off, can you tell us what's next for the project and for the team?
So obviously we're delighted that we've won this award, and that's resulted in a number of things over the last few days. So we've obviously had our presentation yesterday during the meeting where we're able to present our work in person. We've also done an electronic poster for BSR, and there was of course this podcast, and then we've got a publication coming out. And on the back of that, one of the things BSR asked us was how scalable was our work, and what they wanted to see was us scale this work up and transfer it across the country to other departments. And so we do have some ideas for that, and I've discussed that already. So our plans are in process. But what we would like to do is convert something that we've already offered in the past. So we've already had training courses, which we've held at Leeds, on ultrasound for giant cell arthritis. But many places have been able to do ultrasound for quite a long time. It's been recognised as a useful technique, but it hasn't been effectively embedded in most hospitals for various reasons. And it's those things that we think that we can unblock for people by using our experiences. So we've got a really good process improvement team at Leeds, and we would like to use a combination of that and kind of a buddy system for hospitals. So we'd like to see something like a two-day study day where participants are encouraged to come perhaps as a team, a rheumatologist and a sonographer or somebody else from their hospital, and evaluate their own processes before they come. So almost with a standard form that we can ask them information about what do you have already and what do you feel is missing and what isn't working for you. And then not only do they come and learn elements of the actual ultrasound technique, but they can also take their problems to us and to the group that we'll have on the course that day, and then perhaps go away with some solutions, which they'll also be able to discuss with other people. So it could be that prior to the course, six people attending will have the same problem, and we'll be able to identify that from the pre-course evaluation and then put together something quite useful for them that they can take away, because we could see that rheumatology is delivered differently right across the country. Some have a community setting, some have an acute hospital setting. And so we can perhaps direct them as to where they need to go to look for the solutions in their own trusts when they go back, and then provide something like an online support group after they've gone back that meet once or twice a year to see how they're going, to try to help them with problems that they've encountered perhaps when they've come back. And we're relying on the BSR to help us do that. So they did ask us what they could do to help, and I'm hoping that they will help us. So I believe that we've got their support already. And we've also sought commercial support from industry partners who are also really interested in supporting this as an educational initiative. So we hope that that will give us the scalability and success and help other hospitals to achieve that where they haven't been able to.
So very exciting plans, excellent scalability, and we should all watch this space.
Yes.
Well, thank you to Thurka, Kate, Sarah and Borsha for joining me on Talking Rheumatology today. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear about your GCA referral pathway in more detail. Listeners, please do remember to check out the other episodes in this series, where we'll hear about some more projects that exemplify best practice in rheumatology.
Thank you for listening to Talking Rheumatology, brought to you by BSR. Please do rate, share and subscribe through your favourite podcast app.